All right, good morning. How are you? Good? I hope you're good. You may have seen this out on the table as you walked in, little bottles of Fiji water. This is my favorite water, by the way. I don't even know why. It just tastes good, and I like it. But we have a whole bunch of them out there, and I noticed that no one grabbed one. So either you're very humble and like, oh, that's not for me, or we have such an abundance of this stuff, water, in our life that we don't even think about it, right? We bring our own, or we have it running out of our taps or whatever, right? It just doesn't even think, we don't even think about it. But this is my favorite water, and I like it so much that I had to do some research on this Fiji Water Company, and I discovered that it was started in 1996 with a mission to do business responsibly, as well as looking for opportunities to make a difference, right? Isn't that kind of a neat thing for a water company? Like, yep, we want to be responsible to the earth, but we also want to go out and make a difference. And we want to find ways of making a difference in the world. And so they started the Fiji Water Foundation, which brings, of course, you know, clean water to rural communities that would not have clean water. They can't just turn on their tap and it just flows out of there like no big deal. Or they have places where there's water, but it's so bad you can't drink from it. Or they just don't even have water, right? They have no water, and they get to bring water into those communities, as well as they bring in some health care and community aid types of things. So it's not just about the water, but more about the whole community and the whole person. Now, I love this water, and I got thinking about how much we need water. Right, we don't think about it so much around here. We have 10,000 lakes to choose from. We got this giant river in Minnesota that just pours right down the middle of the state, right? We can turn on our tap water and we just have water pouring out all over the place. We can go anywhere we want and just get water, but it's so necessary for life, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the things that we hear about how much we need water just to survive. And think about your own body and what you need for water and what water does for your body and why we need to drink water. Here's just a list of a few things. One of the things that I didn't realize that it is that it actually regulates your body temperature. If you drink the right amount of water, it regulates your body temperature. Isn't that kind of cool? I didn't know that. It also, of course, moistens your eyes and your nose and your mouth, right? You ever get dry mouth or whatever and you need a drink of water. It protects your body, your organs and the tissues in your body. It carries, of course, nutrients and oxygen to the cells of your body. Like, water helps with that. It lubricates your joints, right? So you're doing a bunch of push-ups and you're doing a bunch of squats and things like that, right? Because it lubricates your joints. Your joints are ready to go. It's ready to do those things. It lessens the burdens on your liver and your kidneys, right? To get out the bad stuff out of your body. And of course, it helps to dissolve the nutrients and minerals that your body needs. Yeah. Now, if you're not convinced that you need water, okay, just remember this. You need water to make coffee. Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't be here this morning if you hadn't had that coffee. What if you didn't have water? You couldn't get here, right? Water is so important. And for us to just really get into the mindset of the way things were in Jesus' day, they didn't have water just flowing around everywhere. But they did have communities and towns and cities and nations that were built and founded by sources of water. Jesus and people is our message series. And we see Jesus continually, intentionally going to sources of water to meet with people. He gets baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Intentionally going and meeting somebody at water. The Samaritan woman at a well. He sits down at this well where this whole community is founded and their whole place of worship is founded from this water source, and goes and meets with her. And today we're going to see Jesus intentionally go to a healing pool, a pool of water that brings about healing, and meet this sick man that's there. a man that's been sick for a really long time. And this man is sitting there waiting to be healed. So if you want to turn to John chapter 5, I encourage you to do that, or you're popping open the church app and you can follow along in the notes, or you got your own little Bible you just want to turn on, or you can follow along here. That's fine too. John chapter 5, we're seeing Jesus meet this guy at this healing pool. And for us to really wrap our mind around this, we need to understand and think the way they're thinking, okay? So it's a pool of water. It's got a bunch of porches surrounding it where people can go and be around the water, but they see it as a place of healing, okay? So this water has something in it or does something to people to be healed. And so they sit there. And the idea is that when the water gets stirred up or it bubbles up, like it must be some kind of spring, when that happens, the first person to get into the water is healed. Now, it's not just something that they think about. They're seeing it happening, right? They're seeing and witnessing over many years people that get into this pool right away. They're healed from whatever their disease is. Now, they take it even a step further and going, look, well, what is causing this to be stirred up? And it's not just the physical sense, like there's a spring bubbling up, but it's a spiritual idea. There's a heaven connection with this water. That there's the spirit or the angel of the Lord comes down and stirs it up. And then the first person in gets to be healed. Okay? So that's their mindset. And you can think about this. Like we have things about water. We need to drink water so that we're healthy. If you don't drink enough water, that's bad, right? We need water to wash our skin and be clean and all that, right? We have some ideas, and now their idea is that we can go and get healed from this healing pool. And they've seen it happen, and they've heard stories that it's happened. So the pool is surrounded by people that are sick. And here comes Jesus, okay? So let's take a look. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind and lame or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Guy is sitting there for 38 years, trying to get well, trying to be healed. You want to hear the ironic part of this whole story? Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy. No one's showing him mercy. No one's putting him before themselves. No one's going, you know what? This guy has been here a long time, and he never gets into this pool because no one helps him in. You know, I'm going to give up my turn and help him into the pool so that he can be healed finally after 38 years. House of mercy? Sure doesn't seem like it, does it? But Jesus comes along, and he's merciful to this guy. He goes up and has a conversation with him. He seeks him out at this place of water, a place of life, a place that would restore this guy. And this guy is going like, oh, finally, someone is going to help me get into this pool. Maybe this guy will help me into the pool. Now, you got to remember, this sick guy doesn't know who this Jesus, right? Doesn't know who he is. This is really important for this whole account. Doesn't know who he is, but just thinking maybe he'll help him into the pool. Jesus does not help him into the pool. Let's see what he does. Okay, verse 8. Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Stand up. This guy's been laying there for 38 years, right? pick up the mat that you've been lying on and start walking the very thing you have not been able to do. We're going to come back to that in a second. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking, but this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Dun, dun, dun. Right? What is the deal with that, right? What's the big deal about healing somebody on the Sabbath? Well, it's not even healing the guy on the Sabbath. He was carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Shame on you. Yeah, on the Sabbath day is a day to cease all activity, to stop your busy hands, to stop your busy mind, to stop your busy heart, and start focusing on the one who is sustaining everything on the Sabbath, to focus on God, who you are truly dependent on. Your mind doesn't have to figure everything else out. God's got it covered. I need to take a day to remember that. The work of your hands cannot solve all the world's problems, can't even provide for yourself. Take a day to remember how you're dependent on God, that He gives you life, right? That's what it's about. Now, they got to come up with some rules, right? I mean, how do we do this? How do I make sure that I'm not working? Well, don't light a fire. That you can't do that because you might bake something. And certainly don't carry anything. You're not allowed to do that. That's work, right? Even a sleeping mat, that's work. So that's where this is going to come in to be a problem with Jesus and some of these religious leaders. But before we even get there, we just have Jesus, the religious leaders and this guy, okay? Here's what happens with their interaction, starting in verse 10. So the Jewish leaders objected, right? You can't carry that mat. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. What did he say? What did Jesus tell him to do? Pick up your mat and walk? No, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. So he left out the stand up part because they're focused on him carrying this mat, right? Well, why am I carrying this mat? Is not because I was healed by some guy and it was a great miracle. I mean, we should focus on restoring of life. I'm just going to push the blame onto the guy that healed me, right? He told me to do it, so I'm going to do it, right? Forget about the stand-up part, okay? So pick up your mat and walk. Verse 12, who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders, because he's a little tattletale, that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. I don't know. Harassing Jesus just seems like a bad move, right? Maybe that's just me. But they're going to go and harass Jesus because he's breaking some of these Sabbath rules. Their rules of trying to figure out how you are to rest on the Sabbath, right? How do you make sure you don't do any work on the Sabbath? Because we want to make this a day to remember and a day that's honoring to God, so we better not do bad things like working on it, right? We're supposed to stop. So they come up with all these rules, and Jesus is breaking those rules. And Jesus is going to need to have a conversation with them to remind them what the Sabbath is really all about. To stop depending on yourself for life and start focusing on God and how you depend on God for your life. He's the one that sustains everything, even on the Sabbath. Even on a day when we're supposed to rest, even on the day that God rested from all of his work of creating life because it was complete, and now he just works to sustain it, and we are to stop so that we can experience that and what that's like, right? So Jesus has a little conversation with them about this. And I'm just going to let you know, it doesn't go well. All right? Okay, verse 17. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For not only he broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants." Gives life to anyone he wants. He gives life to anyone he wants because he's seen how the Father does that. Now let's just recap just for a brief second here, okay? Did this guy that was sick at the pool, did he know who Jesus was, that was Jesus? No. Did Jesus say, "Your faith or believing in me has made you well"? No. So Jesus restored this guy's life because he can do what he wants, right? He gives life to anyone he wants. And what is it that Jesus did that the Father was also doing? Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Let there be light. Let there be birds in the air. Let there be animals on the ground. Let us create human beings in our image. Let there be life. God speaks, and life happens. Jesus speaks, and it gives life. Jesus' words give life. Jesus' words are the thing that give life. This guy didn't even have to believe in Jesus. Didn't know who he was, and it just happened. That's amazing. And that's exactly what God has been doing, sustaining life and giving life to people. The Sabbath day was created for people to see their dependence not on their own work of their hands, but on God sustaining them and giving them life. And they turned it all around and being like, "Oh, well, we got to stop doing this." Did you realize that healing this guy on the Sabbath was a big no-no? Like, if you were a doctor in Jesus' time, you had 6 days that you could heal somebody, right? Especially with somebody like a chronic illness like this. He's been sick for 38 years. Wrap that in your mind. 38 years. He's been sick longer than Jesus was alive. 38 years. He's been sick that long. He's got 38 years of Sabbath days that no one could heal him. And Jesus is like, "Enough is enough. I'm going to speak some words to you that are going to restore you, because that's what the Sabbath is all about." And I think for us, if we really think about it, we need Jesus' words even more than we need water in our bodies. I think, if I'm going to use this metaphor, I think that our minds are thirsty. I think they're drained, they're worn out. We've been thinking through our problems in life and trying to solve them by thinking about them over and over and over, and we just can't come up with the right answer. Maybe we just need to stop and listen to Jesus' words to allow them to give us life. I think our hearts are drained and worn out and are thirsty, because we have all of these emotions and we have all these decisions and we have all of this stuff that we need to try to work out And no matter how much we worry about it and how anxious we get and how much concern we put towards it, it just doesn't do anything. We just need to stop and listen to Jesus' words. To allow Jesus' words to give us life. When you think about your life, you're hardworking people, right? And so your answer for life's problems is to work more, to earn more money, because then life will be better. How's that going for you? It drains you, doesn't it? Sometimes we feel incomplete as people, and so maybe finding that significant other or the right group of friends or even having children will help make you complete. I love my boys, but they suck the life out of me. Sometimes it's awesome, right? Hey, they're not bad, but it's not the answer, is it? That's not the thing that gives life. Or maybe it's like, man, if I could just have this depression taken away, if I could stop being so anxious, if I could be cured of this chronic disease, I could have my life back. And Jesus going, I can just give you new life. If you would just stop focusing on that and rest and listen to my words, it would give you life. Here's the crazy statement of all church statements coming from a pastor. Apparently, you don't even need to believe in Jesus for this to have an effect. Right? This guy was healed because Jesus told him to stand up, pick up your mat, and walk, and he did it. Because Jesus wanted to give him life. And if he can do it with this guy, it can happen with you, especially for those that say, yeah, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to go and believe in him, and I'm going to take his words, and I'm going to listen to them. Intentionally, on purpose, on a Sabbath day, to really rest in him and stop trying to solve it all on my own. You need water to live. You need Jesus' words to have life. Yeah? So here is what I'm going to invite you into doing. We have all these bottles of water out there with a little card attached to it. The card has Jesus' words on it. Isn't that nifty? Because just like you need water, you need Jesus' words that give life. So I invite you and I encourage you to take one of these bottles of water. First of all, it's delicious water. And secondly, it's Jesus' words. It's just the beginning of his sermon, just the first 28 lines of his sermon that gets you to be thinking about how Jesus gives you life. I encourage you to take some time today to read through these 28 verses and wonder, how could this give me life? Which of these words is giving me life today? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we do believe that your words give life. So we ask you to speak into our lives as we read and listen to your words. Jesus, we wait here now for you to speak. In your name we pray. Amen.